you just take a seat, please? Thank you. Good evening, everybody. My name is Lloyd Porter, and I'm the director of Vos Mission. And it's my joy and privilege to invite to the stage Yvette Cherry, who is our guest speaker tonight. And I first got to know Yvette in our mission class, where all good things start. And Yvette, the first work that I read of Yvette's, I just thought, oh my goodness, this person can write. And I'm not surprised at all that your online presence is growing now. You can communicate so clearly and just so well. And we know you come from an educational background, but we also know you're a worship leader, a speaker, a blogger, and a mother to four young girls, which means you're a jogger as well. So not only is Yvette highly gifted, but she's a really courageous person. And I've just watched from the background, just watching you grow and just moving through a number of positions. And just great to see you step up to take larger responsibilities with the Baptist Union. And she's now moved into a position where she works as a pastor, encouraging and equipping women in church leadership and ministry. And so, Yvette, it's been great to see God's hand on your life and to see her warm influence grow in the Baptist Union and outside of that. And so, Yvette, we look forward to hearing from you and to hear what God has placed on your heart. So welcome and well done.
Thank you so much, Lloyd, for that. Now, I want to be completely honest with you. I am actually often quite scared and nervous. Lloyd said that I had courage. That was kind. But I often lack confidence, and I'm sometimes crippled by self-doubt. I'm prone to believing that little voice that says, you're not good enough, not qualified, not wanted. I'm pretty nervous right now, actually. There's a little alternative scenario. I've got this really vivid imagination. Maybe that's why I write. But every time I've thought about this evening, I've just pictured myself jumping down and running up the aisle and out the front door and getting in the car and going home. But that would be super awkward, wouldn't it? So I will carry on. So this is what I had going on in 2013. You'll see an image on the screen. When God did some things to alter the trajectory of my life, I wish that I had a photo with like vomit and crazy, but you don't tend to take those photos. So, you know, it looks all really calm, but that's only about 30 seconds. You would know if you're a parent. At this time, I was a stay-at-home mum doing some volunteer ministry in my church. But in addition to that, I had a sense, an inkling, I suppose, that God had some kind of plan for me, and a growing awareness that God had given me some gifts and abilities, especially in the area of leadership, and that I should be stepping into that in the church. I had a sense that God wanted me to step out of my comfort zone, to stop playing small, and to commit more fully to serving Him with my life. I looked at the Vos website. My sister studied there because she was going to the mission field. But I had thought that Bible college was only for that kind of radical. Who was I to think that I could study the Bible seriously? Only pastors and missionaries do that. I didn't think that I would qualify. Mostly, I hadn't really done anything about my inkling because I was afraid. Afraid and unsure that I even had anything to offer God. Have you ever had a growing sense that God is calling you to something beyond your capacity? Have you ever been scared to take the next step? All through Scripture, we see God calling people into a plan that He has prepared for them. Just ordinary men and women, like you and me, but God disrupted their world and called them to a purpose that only He knew. Let me give you some examples. In Exodus 3, Moses is tending his father-in-law's sheep when God gets his attention with a burning bush. An angel of the Lord appears to Moses from within the flames of the bush, and although the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up, and God tells Moses that He will use him to lead His people out of Egypt. the prophet Jonah was running from God's command to bring a message to the people of Nineveh. And I'd say that most of us know how that turns out for Jonah. He's in a boat and angry sailors throw him over into the water where he is swallowed up by a big fish. In the belly of the fish, he repents and God causes the fish to spew him onto dry land. One day, a young Jewish woman, one whom the scriptures say had found favor with God, is startled by an angel who tells her she is going to give birth to the Son of God. At this news, Mary is afraid, but she rejoices and glorifies God. In Luke 5, professional fishermen Simon Peter and his partners, brothers James and John, are washing up after a lousy night of fishing, having caught nothing at all, when Jesus says to them, "Push out into deep water, cast your nets again," and they pull up such a large haul of fish that their boat begins to sink. After this, Jesus tells them, "Follow me," and they do. And one more example for you. In Acts 9, we read the story of Saul traveling along the Damascus Road. He is on his way to take more Christ followers to prison when a bright light causes him to fall. Jesus calls out to him, and then Saul is blinded, unable to see anything at all. He is taken to a home where he is cared for by a very, very scared but kind man acting under God's orders. His sight returns, and Saul is radically transformed into a follower of Jesus. Many times in the Bible, God uses strange and unusual methods to get people's attention. In some of the examples I've given you, the people had been running in the opposite direction of God's direct orders, and he stepped in and supernaturally redirected their paths. Some had been living simple, obedient lives when God did something amazing to get their attention, calling them to abandon their own plans and to follow him. In each of these stories, these powerful encounters with our living God have not only changed the trajectory of their life, but it also gave them a glimpse of the power and the glory of God. This evening, I'd like to tell you a story of how God got my attention and changed the direction of my life. It was a quiet afternoon in 2013. My little two were taking a nap, and I was in my room having some time alone with God. As I told you earlier, I'd been wrestling with uncertainty about a sense of calling that I thought maybe I had, a feeling that God maybe wanted more from me. So I was down on the floor with my face in the carpet, and I prayed perhaps more earnestly and honestly than I ever have in my life. And I just said to God, "God, I want to serve you with all of my life, all of who I am. Show me what to do next." You know, and as I was praying, I heard like a voice cut into the prayer, and it said, "Yvette, go to the city. On the train, no agenda, just go." And at the same time that that voice cut through, I saw in my mind's eye the picture of a train station on the Armidale line. And, you know, it cut in so clearly and in such a different direction from what I was praying that I thought, could this be God? So I got up from praying and I went and called my husband. I said, "Lee, I think God's telling me to go to the city on the train." And he said, "Well, babe, go." So the next morning, I got up, I got the two big ones ready for school, and I dropped them, and I had the little two with me, and I headed toward Cannington, where I thought this train line was. I live pretty much closer to the freeway, so that's how I'd get into the city if I was to go. And so it took me a little while to find the station. And so when I did, I got out of the car, and I thought, "God, maybe you've got me here to lead someone to a relationship with you. Maybe I'm supposed to tell someone about you." So I began to pray as I walked toward the train with the girls. And I got on the train and I sat down and I thought, you know, might be here. So I looked around, but everyone on the train was doing what people on the train do. They're all on their phone. And some had their earphones on. So there was no way I was going to strike up a conversation. So I thought, well, I'm just going to pray for them all. I prayed a blessing over everyone in the train carriage. And by the time I had finished that, we'd pulled up in the city station. So we got out, pushed the pram and little Amelia. And I got in the lift to go up to the overpass outside of Maya. So then we're walking through the overpass and that's when I first thought, what am I doing? I have no idea even where I'm going. So I said to Millie, what do you want to do, Mill? She's 2 and a half. She says, I just want to go home. So I said, okay, we'll have a cup of tea. We'll find a cafe, have a cup of tea, and then we'll go home. All right. So we went into Maya, walked through the overpass and into Maya, and then I saw all these sale racks because it was like just after mid-year. And, you know, I was the mother of a newborn. I didn't get out of the house, like, ever. So I thought, okay, here's the chance to do a quick bit of shopping. But as soon as I thought that, I felt this rebuke in my spirit, Yvette, no, that is not why you're here. So I continued on. As just a couple more steps into this journey when I looked up and I locked eyes with two very tall, dark Ethiopian men. And they were walking toward me in Maya. And I just had a feeling that maybe they were why I was there. So I walked to try to get into their path and then I slowed down in front of them and I said, hello. And they said, hello. And I said, how are you? They said, good, thank you. How are you? And I said, I'm good, thank you. And then I said, what are you here for? I was just kind of stalling for time, trying to figure out why I was talking to them. And they said, oh, we're just out for a walk in the city. I said, oh, great. And so only one of them was doing the talking. The other one was just grinning and smiling. And I realized later he didn't speak any English at all. So the one doing the talking said, why are you here? What are you doing today? And I said, oh, I'm also just out for a walk in the city. So then we chatted a little bit more and we discovered that we were both church attenders. And introduced them to Amelia, who was hiding behind my legs, and to the sleeping baby in the pram. And then we pretty much ran out of things to say, and it was a little awkward for a moment. And then the man leaned in and he said, why are you really here? You know, I'm a terrible liar. I just don't do lying very well, and I also don't think fast on my feet. So I said, actually, I'm here because God told me to come. And he said, okay. Would you like to have a cuppa with me? I said, I think maybe that's why I'm here. So we went out of Maya and we walked down the lane and we hopped back in the lift. In the lift, I said to God, God, this might be the most naive thing I've ever done. And I shot up a prayer that they wouldn't like mug us in the lift and then run out with our stuff. We got to the bottom and we were okay. We sat down at the cafe and the man who could speak English ordered me a cuppa. And so then we chatted a little bit more and he asked me a little bit more directly about my life. I told him that I used to be an English teacher, that I was staying home with my girls, and just that week I had volunteered to do a little bit more ministry in my church. And he told me that he was a med student, that his friend who was just playing with Millie at that point had married an Australian woman and that's why they were in the country. And then he said, Yvette, I think that God has something for me to tell you. Is it all right? I said, yeah, okay. And so he said, there's a story in 2 Kings. Let me get it for you. And it goes like this. So let me give you some context. In 2 Kings, the prophet Elijah had been working in the land, and then he knew that it was his time to go. So he tells Elijah, and then there's chariots and fire and horses and the whirlwind, and Elijah is taken up into heaven. And I imagine Elisha going, no, as he grabs his coat. That's the context of this verse. But what the man read to me was this. So then Elisha goes into the town of Jericho. The people of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha has spoken. I said, okay. Yeah, he put it in his own words. He didn't have his Bible there. He said, Yvette, do you mind if I have a go at explaining what I think that God is saying to you in this? I said, go for it. So he said, the poison water is like the next generations of Western Australia. He said, let me back that up. He said, youth suicide is a terrible problem. The drug and crime rate, prostitution, abortion, broken marriage. This current climate that you're living in this state of Western Australia, it's really in damage. And then he said, the salt represents the word of God. And then he said, and you, my friend, you represent Elisha and the clean bowl. So this is what God is saying for you. He wants you to take the salt, the word of God, to the next generations and to cleanse them. But, Yvette, this is what else you need to know. He said, you must be both discerning and obedient. He said, I can tell that you are these things already, but God wants you to know that you must continue to be discerning and obedient, and then he will use you mightily. I just went, okay, thanks. And then I didn't know what to say, but the pram started to shake and the baby started to make some noises, and it was like divine intervention, because I said to them, you know, I felt like we'd made friends, we'd made a connection in this moment, but it didn't extend to wanting to feed the baby in front of them. So I said, I think I need to go now. And the man said, yes, I think you do. And so then I got back on the train and I came home. And while I was on the train, Lee sent me a text and he said, was it worth it? And I said, it was so worth it. So that day I decided that if I was going to teach the word of God to the next generations, then I needed to know it. I finally built up the courage to enroll at VOS. And that's why I'm standing here today. That week, I also started in a voluntary capacity at my church, Riverton Baptist, which eventually led to a paid position. I fell more in love with the church, and I realized I wanted to serve the church for the rest of my life. The next year, I decided to apply to become an accreditation candidate with Baptist Churches Western Australia. My experience of meeting the man in the city baffled me for a while. It seemed that God had taken me to the city to meet a man who would deliver me a very personalized sermon, because that's what it was, really. He told the story from 2 Kings, he explained what it meant, and he gave an application for my life. I wondered why God had answered my question like that. In the last few years, I've had many more moments where God has got my attention. Not all of them involve strangers and long car trips or long train rides. Some have been more conventional, but they've all included the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the voice of my Father getting my attention to say, you can do this. I have called you to a plan and a purpose. Take courage, Yvette. I know what I'm doing. And I think that is what it's all about. It's about looking over the past few years and knowing that I serve and follow an awesome God. He has shown me his glory and his power in many ways. He has shown me that he has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I am able to have confidence in who he has called to me to be and the role that I am to play as he builds his church. Even though I still sometimes lack confidence and I become drawn into self-doubt about whether I can do the things God's called me to do, I think back on why I know that I'm called. I remember the day that God whispered, go to the city on the train. I love that he gave me that unique experience to draw on. It has been tough to study and to manage work and a growing family, but I know knowing that I'm called to do it has made it easier to put the time aside for the assignments. I wouldn't call my experience of church ministry easy either. so far. But I also know that I am called to do that. And it gives me the confidence and the courage that I need. I know that my God goes before me. I am certain that this room is full, just rich with amazing stories. Stories of calling and of destiny. Stories of God getting the attention of his people as he calls them to boldness and courage to play their role in his kingdom. I encourage you to ask each other, how do you know that you are called? And listen to these amazing stories of God using scripture, a quiet voice, the words of friends and of strangers, and even the bizarre to get the attention of your friends, fellow students, and faculty. If you have been sitting here thinking, called? I don't feel called. Called to what? Then I want to say to you that we are all called. We are called into relationship with Jesus. His entire life is just one big open invitation to follow him. I think that this understanding, this calling, it starts in those moments of honest prayer. And maybe like me, with your face in the carpet, just saying to God, help me to know you better. Help me to follow you more obediently. Show me your glory, Lord. Jeremiah 29 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. If you are unsure of what he is calling you to next, just ask him and wait for his voice. It might not come straight away, but in the meantime, just hang out with him and wait. And while you are waiting, serve his church. Let's pray. Dear God, you have invited us all into this big life with you through your Son, Jesus. And it is incredible what you do when we put our trust in you and step out in faith. We thank you for showing us your glory. We thank you that you know us, you know what we need, you take away our fears, and you never leave our side. Amen.